No pressure.
Thanks. Thanks, Gary. It's always good to be beefed up by the leader before you come to speak. No, it's great. Thanks. It's good to be here with you. My name is Dave Van, in case you don't know me, and I'm part of the leadership team. And also here, I come here with my wife, Laura, and our kids, Josiah and Kayla. You will see them running around, or see one of them running around after the other two. So my task this morning is to do really two things. One is to keep you awake. Number two is to impart the word of God to you. Now, I have a little device to help the first one. I come from Texas, and I used to go to basketball camp. And at basketball camp, they used to be pretty clear that you had to listen to the camp leader. So he had a basketball, and he'd be bouncing it. And he would say, if I catch any of you not looking at me because you're chatting with your friend, or you're fiddling around on your phone, bam, throw the basketball in your face. I saw it, and let me tell you, all of us paid attention. So I'm just going to leave this here, menacing, threatening little ball. Now, you might think Dave wouldn't do that. There's old people here. They might need to sleep. And there's some truth to that. But Julian Bullen, if I catch you even winking, this ball is heading straight for you. All right. So we are in Acts 18, and we are looking at a passage about a man named Apollos, as Mark already alluded to. So, just quickly, where have we got to? So, because we've missed a little bit, haven't we? Acts chapter 17, if you want to go back and read it, it is a fantastic chapter, officially my favorite. Oh, we missed it, but it's fine. I'm not going to preach on it. But just quickly, where have we got to? So Paul has just departed Ephesus. He was invited to stay, and he thought better of it and said, nope, it's my time to go. But enter stage left is a man called Apollos, who we've not heard about before. So let's read a bit about him up to the end of the chapter. No, sorry. We rehearsed this well. 24 to 28. 18, 24 to 28.
So, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Acacia or somewhere, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ.
Great. Thanks, Ruth. Okay, so Apollos, guys, I have to confess, I have a vested interest in Apollos. Some of you will know this, most of you won't. A few months ago, I was at a gold leadership evening with a guy called Carl Wills, who some of you may have heard of. It's a guy with a prophetic gift who's sown into River over the last couple of years. And I really was just sitting there minding my own business, trying to keep my head down, as you do when people with prophetic gifts are in a small room. And I thought I was going to get away without too much of a fuss. And then he picks me out. And he says, you, come here, you. And I go, okay, I have to come forward. And he says, River should earmark you as an Apollos. I didn't really know what he meant at the time. I thought, that sounds nice. I've heard of Apollos, but only in the context of, do you follow Paul or do you follow Apollos? So I didn't really know much about it, and I slightly parked it and said, mental note, must study Apollos at some point. And then the rota came round, and here I am looking at Apollos. So that is definitely not coincidence, but I do have a vested interest in the man. So today, guys, I want to focus, already, as you already know, because Mark's told you, on us being torchbearers for truth. Now, it's my belief that you can boil down to really three things that God has given us for us to impart to the world around us. It's God's love, God's truth, and God's Holy Spirit. Now, we do a fantastic job, I think, at River, at looking at the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and how we can flow that out. And I like to spend a bit of time looking at God's truth and looking at it through the eyes and the life of Apollos. And I'm also going to be doing a little bit of transporting of Apollos into the 21st century, because he is, after all, a, help me here, third century character. No. What am I saying? An AD 30 plus character. Okay, so here he is. Now, I don't know who depicted this, but this is Paul and Apollos having a little bit of a hug, and I was someone. So Apollos is meant to be the man on the right. So there we have a depiction of what Apollos maybe looked like, and obviously there was a bit of guy love in an appropriate way going on between Paul and him, according to this picture. Now, a little bit about, stay with me, boys. Right, a little bit about Apollos. Okay, we read in the verses, well, let me tell you something before we read about what the verse says. We know that Apollos was from Alexandria. Now, any of you know where Alexandria is? Very good, Egypt. Now, at the time, Alexandria was the thinking man's capital of the ancient world. Alexandria had the largest known library at the time, which is pretty cool, I think. So, Apollos would have been steeped in this whole culture of knowledge and learning, and somewhere along the line, someone came to him and told him about Jesus, and he got it, and the light switched on. And he made a trek over to Ephesus to go and tell more people about Jesus, which is quite remarkable. And we don't know where he heard it from, but he'd heard about Jesus and grabbed a hold of it. So another thing that we know about Apollos, he was learned. He was learned, yes. And that comes from the word logios, which also can be translated as eloquent or skilled in speech. So there we are. Apollos was a persuasive man with a microphone. Had microphones been invented then? Of course they weren't. He spoke with great fervor, the Bible says. So basically, he wasn't just an academic. He wasn't just a professor who's a bit dry. Let me tell you about the truth of Jesus as revealed to me in the library. He had passion, and he was obviously very, he threw his weight into the words that he used. He spoke with great fervor. He was knowledgeable, the word dunatos in Greek, which basically means mighty. So another translation is, he was mighty in the scripture. He knew his stuff. He really knew the scriptures. He was able to put his point forward without going, He was mighty and knowledgeable. He was also diligent, the Bible tells us. So that means he was accurate. The truth mattered to Apollos. He didn't want to just kind of give a little vague, oh, this is kind of what I've heard, and these are some things I've read. He was diligent in what he taught. And this really struck me, because when someone who you describe as learned, with fervor, knowledgeable, diligent, he was also teachable. He had got something wrong. Someone had passed on misinformation, well, not misinformation, incomplete information about baptism. And he'd only preached John's baptism, and he hadn't moved on to actually the baptism of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Priscilla and Aquila, and the third guy, took him aside and explained to him, do you know what, you're great, but you're just a little off. You're just a little off what you believe in this area. And do you know what he did? He went, I get it, you're right. And now he was again teaching from the scriptures, persuading people that Jesus was the way. So I have to say, I like this guy. And actually, I can relate to him. You know, that's me. I want some of that is my background, and some of that is what I aspire to be. Okay, but where does his story and him as a person, how does that relate to us in 21st century middle class maidenhood? That's my question. So I'd like to bring Apollos into the 21st century. Would you indulge me and look at what he might look like? What might Apollos look like in the 21st century? That's one view. It's Colin Barnes, our leader, talking to a man, hopefully about God's truth. We don't know. Might look like this man, Simon Cross, bringing a bit of love and truth with his football. Might look like this woman. Hello. You're here. Everyone else is skiving. You are a modern-day Apollos, Alejandra. It might look like this man. Oh, I couldn't refuse. Is he here? Where is he? Yes! Brilliant. No, seriously, although that picture is special, that is also you. You are a modern-day Apollos as well, Wisdom. Yeah, ministry to dogs. So, what does Apollos look like in modern-day? So, I want to look at some of the characteristics that he displayed, and actually I want to relate those to what does it look like for us to be Apollos as we do what we do, as we go to work, as we witness to our friends, as we live life, and I want to translate some of those things. So Apollos, was into preaching the good news to the Jews. And I want to say that for us, what does that look like today? I think for us that looks like sharing the truth that we have and the knowledge about Jesus Christ. We can preach to people, but most people, unless you're sat here in a church and you're expecting it, don't like being preached to. That's not where people are at today, but they still need to hear the good news. So I'd like to say that actually our job is to do the sharing. It's about opening up our life, opening up what we believe, opening up the truth that's been revealed to us. I thought I missed one out there. See what happens. Apollos was a scholar. He was knowledgeable in both the scriptures and in the culture. He knew his stuff. And actually, I think that's a challenge to us as well today. Are we clued in to the Bible, to scripture, but also clued in to culture and what's going on? The danger is for someone like me who's grown up as a missionary kid and been sort of immersed in the scripture more, I can be totally ignorant about actually what's going on in real life, you know, because I don't watch X Factor. I don't watch Celebrity Big Brother. There's probably some good reason for that. But actually, there is some value in being not clued in to the culture. Where are people at? What are the touchstone issues, the heartbeat of the culture? Where are people at? Because actually, you've got to relate to people where they are at too. Paul did a fantastic job of this in Acts 17, the one that we missed, where he related to the Athenians. He talked about their poetry and he talked about their sculpture that they had to the unknown God. And he started where the culture was at, and then he went, come along, Jesus. So actually, we need to know, be clued in to where the culture is at as well. Okay, I already spoke about this. Apollos was fervent, and we like that, don't we? But also, when we hear the word fervent, we sometimes think about preachers on street corners who we want to dodge and duck into cafes because they're going to be a little bit intense. So I like to say to you guys, our call is to be passionate. It's to be passionate about what we believe, to not hold it lightly, but hold it close to our hearts and hold it with a sense of passion. And Apollos was into proving, it says the final verse, he proved through the scriptures that Jesus Christ was Lord. And I would say that us actually, yeah, that is our job too. Now, we're living in interesting times, and I go on to this a little bit, where proving something, using words like proof, can be quite difficult. But actually, our job is to reveal the truth in people. Reveal it through words, reveal it through our actions. Actually, it does prove it to people. It will prove it, but actually it's about opening up and revealing that to people that Jesus is Lord. So I want you to hold on to those things, guys. I want you to move across into the 21st century, Apollos, and think about sharing, being clued in, being passionate, and revealing the truth. Now, guys, this isn't diminishing the gospel. This isn't compromising the gospel. This is exactly what we are called to do. This is what Paul did when he took the truth of the gospel and he was in Athens and went, how can I make this work in Athens? It's what Jesus did. Now, imagine Jesus had arrived in first century Palestine and he'd used the same language of Adam and Eve. And he'd used the same analogies of, I don't know, plants that were in the Garden of Eden. People would have been a little bit nonplussed, wouldn't they? But actually Jesus arrived and was absolutely spot on relevant to the people at the time of first century Palestine. So we need to remember that. Keep hold of the gospel, the truth, but actually remember that it absolutely has to be revealed in the time that we are living in today. And yeah, and the Bible is, the Bible and the words of the Bible are truth, but also we need to remember that it's a task that we have for the mission, actually to reveal that in a way that makes sense to people where we're at, which right now is middle class Maidenhead, 21st century. Okay. So our call is not to do what Apollos did so much in terms of the how. It's actually about being who Apollos was, one who shines a light of truth to those around him, which Mark did so beautifully. It's about being torchbearers for truth. Now, we have some obstacles, don't we? Can anyone tell me, because I'm sure it's going on in your mind, someone tell me what's going on in mind. What might some of the obstacles be to revealing truth to people in the way that Apollos did, well, modern day Apollos? What might some of those obstacles be that we face now, at this time? Anyone? Cynicism, okay. Nobody believes in absolute truth. I didn't prompt him. That sounds like a set-up answer. It's a good one. Yeah, okay. Others? Our own fear, yeah, boldness, fear, yeah, sorry. Pride. Okay, yep. Politically correct, political correctness, philosophy in sense of... Okay, all right, sort of misleading truth. I could spend quite a bit of time on this. I think I'm not going to. What I do want to say, guys, is that we do face some very specific challenges around bringing truth to people because we live in what's called a postmodern era, which basically means that there's no longer a belief or a fixed view of things that are absolutely true. Generally, the sayings of, this is my truth, or this is what I believe, or, you know, each to their own. Those sort of phrases are more commonplace where it's actually quite difficult to then bring to someone and go, no, no, this isn't just my truth, this is the truth. That kind of grates against the grain of the culture, doesn't it? And obviously we have to be really careful that we're not arrogant, but it doesn't change the fact that it is true, even if it's difficult to present that in the culture today. I'm going to give you some thoughts about how we can do that in just a moment, and I hope it's going to help you overcome some of those obstacles that I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, yeah, this sounds great. Sorry, go out there and start telling people the truth. It's a little difficult. So I'm hoping we're going to get over some of these obstacles over the next bit of the talk. I want to spend a bit of time repainting the picture that you might have of that word truth, because there's going to be a lot of associations with that. Some of you might have a really positive association that's about, yeah, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus has been real to me. Others, you might think, oh, the truth, it's the kind of that heavy thing that we sort of carry around on our backs and wish that we didn't have to share to anyone. And others of you might think, I don't even want to use that in conversation ever because I'm going to get battered down by my friends who aren't Christians. So I want to repaint a little bit of a picture of the truth. I'm going to start with some Bible verses. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's from Psalms. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. That's from Numbers. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the glory of kings, that's us, to search it out, from Proverbs. So, guys, I want to put it to you that if we come across anything that is true in our life, or in society, or in culture, or in history, anything that is true, even if the truth isn't the exact words, as it's written in the Bible, I'll come back to this, if it is genuinely true, it has its source in the one who is the truth and who made all things that are true. Are you following me? The one whose glory and whose knowledge of the glory fills the whole earth is the one who is the source of truth. So if we come across truth and it is genuinely true, it has its source in God, as revealed in Jesus. Theologian R.C. Sproul puts it this way. All truth is God's truth. And when one encounters truth, one encounters the God whose truth it is. Can see lots of sort of pensive thinking faces and eyes. Let me give you some illustrations of this, which I hope will help. Okay. Let me just do a quick little check. Okay. Oh, Peter Kingston just looked up at me right at that moment. Bless you, Peter. I wouldn't do that to you. It's good timing, though. Good. The rest of you are all there. Okay. Has anyone heard of or managed to skim read a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by a chap called Stephen Covey? Thanks, Andrew Reed and Andy. It's a good book. More of you should pick it up. Stephen Covey sadly died in a motorcycle accident. Oh, bicycle accident a few weeks ago. But anyway, that's not really the point I'm trying to make. This book is about sort of what you imagine it would be about, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's basically about principles of living successfully. And here's what Stephen Covey writes in the introduction. The greater the changes we are facing, the more difficult our challenges, the more relevant these habits have become. The reason, our problems and pain are universal, and the solutions to the problems are and always will be based upon universal, timeless, self-evident principles common to every enduring society throughout history. One of the most profound learnings of my life is this. If you want to achieve your highest aspirations and overcome your greatest challenges, identify and apply the principle or natural law or truth that governs the results that you seek. Now, that's slightly highfalutin words, but what he's basically saying is that there are universal, timeless truths that if we align ourselves with, actually, we will see success and prosperity and blessing. Stephen Covey's a Christian. He doesn't write that book as a, it's about Jesus Christian, but all the principles infused are biblical and very sound and actually very true for living. Let me give you, tease out a few examples to try and get us thinking about this. I'm gonna highlight a few areas of life where I believe there is a truth that actually comes from the Bible and if applied will bring favor and success in our life. And I want to think about this picture of all truth being God's truth and having its source in Jesus. Okay, morality. Follow the principles of living in the Ten Commandments and it will be good for your life. The truth shall set you free. Science. The creation of the universe is not a cosmic accident, but the creative work of a grand designer God. The truth shall set you free. Politics. The policies that will most prosper a nation are the policies that fit the ways of the kingdom of God. The truth shall set you free. Development. The solution to the planet's sustainability issue is not in reducing populations, but in making wise use of God-given resources. The truth shall set you free. Relationships. Love that does not have the hallmarks of commitment and self-sacrifice is not love at all. The truth shall set you free. Business. Treat your customers as you would want to be treated yourself, and your customers will likely return. The truth shall set you free. Spirituality. You are significant, and that is the opinion of the one whose opinion matters most. The truth shall set you free. Now, some of those statements may have seemed obvious, self-evident to you. Some of them may be thought-provoking. Some of them may be controversial. And I'm even happy to have them challenged. All of them are rooted, not in the ball, all of them are rooted in Scripture. They don't all use the exact words of the Bible, but all of those truths are rooted in Scripture and have revealed themselves in those areas, science and politics and development. There are lots others that I could mention. Actually, our task as modern day apologists is to reveal God's truth to those around us and take them on a journey from truth as revealed in those areas to the center of the truth. Now, Alan, could you come up? I'm going to do a little illustration. An illustration that Mark has slightly stolen my thunder on, but I'll let him off. Just on, while Alan prepares, on that note, Mark, some scholars believe that Apollos was the author of Acts, which would be good news for you, because then we'd all be wrong. Good. Had to get that one in. Oh, couldn't refuse. It's love. Truth and love. Okay. Guys, I want to use a visual illustration to talk about truth. Truth can sometimes feel a bit abstract. Truth is like a light. Truth is a light, and it shines brightly, illuminating everything around it. Now, hold it up, Alan. On the outer edges of this truth, let me go stand on the edge. Now, if I'm over here, I'm still in the light, but I'm not in the center of the light, am I? But I'm going to still get a little bit of the light. So, some of those truths that I mentioned here are captured within the revealed truth of God, the things that I was mentioning about development and politics and relationships. And actually, dodge it a little bit, and the same over here. But really, really, where I want to get to is right in the center of the light. Right in the center of the truth is the one who calls himself the truth, the way, the truth, and the light. Right in the center of the truth is the word, which we are told is the truth. Your word is truth. That's right in the center. So guys, it is fantastic that we can, thanks Alan. It's fantastic that we can, actually blind people just a bit more because it's quite fun. Just, you know, just flying around. Hey, there we go. Good. So it's fantastic that we have an opportunity, guys, to reveal truth to people in the areas where we work, in business, in relationships, in, I don't know, in social services, in the arts, in culture. We have the opportunity to reveal some of that scriptural truth as it applies to all those areas, because it will be there, which is fantastic. Because what that is that's a starting point for a lot of people to come on a journey towards the middle of the light. The middle of the light, the truth. Because think about Apollos for a minute. Apollos came into a situation where everyone was, well, he was speaking to the Jews. They were nearly there, but not quite there. A lot of the people that we encounter are not nearly there. They're kind of a long way from there. They're like, I'm sorry, do I need Jesus? I wasn't aware that I did. Does God even exist? I'm a little bit agnostic about that. People are not in the place where the Jews were when Apollos preached, but actually, they are in a place where they need the revealed truth of God. We need that revelation in our lives. We need that revelation, whether it's about our relationships, whether it's about our finance, whether it's about our physical health. We need the revelation of God's truth in those areas of our life. And we have an opportunity to bring that revelation to people and take them on a journey towards the middle where they encounter the truth, Jesus himself, the truth. And we have an opportunity to walk on that journey with them. And I know some of you have done that. Some of you have gone with, who've come into people's lives at a point where they've needed some truth. And you've revealed that to them in a loving way. And then just slowly taking them on a journey, holding their hand till they encounter the one who is the truth. I had a really good experience yesterday. I've sort of prepared my talk, and then I started getting talk jitters, which is not about speaking, but more about, Alan, you spoke about it. Partly is it the right message, or overanalyzing? And then also the other jitter I sometimes get is, well, you know, how much authority do I have to say this stuff? Because how much am I living it out in my own life? It's always a challenge. And I think I've spoken about this before. Yesterday I got my hair cut, in case you didn't notice. And this never happens to me. I should caveat this. Very rarely happens to me. As soon as I sat down in the chair, I can't remember the link. I brought up church straight away because there was some context for it. And then literally for the half hour that we had the haircut, she was just peppering me with question after question about, okay, well, how do we know that God exists? And is it just an emotional crutch? Or is he real? What about creation? And what about other religions? And, and the Bible? What about truth? Can we know that's absolutely true? I was just like, oh, hello. This is quite apt. I'm speaking about this tomorrow. I didn't quite say that. But I had a great conversation with that lady, and I hope I started where she was at, which was a lot of that was more about the emotional side. Do I need God as an emotional crutch for me and my family? And I was able to maybe just take a few little shuffle steps towards Jesus. But for me, it was really encouraging, and I also want to encourage you guys that actually God will give you opportunities to start where people are at. And it may be something really wild, you know, it may be something, I don't know, maybe something around animal husbandry. I just made that up. I have no idea what it's even about. But you may be able to reveal some truth in animal husbandry that then leads people on the journey to Jesus. There may be other less obscure ones too. But I want to encourage you guys to seek out those opportunities. But also I want to encourage you not to have too narrow, don't have too narrow a view of God's truth. Because what happens is we go, God's truth is here, revealed in Jesus and the Bible. Everyone I know is out there. I don't know how to get them here, so I'm going to kind of not try or give up. And that's really, if you take anything away from today, if you think I'm a heretic, I hope not. Or if you think I'm just highfalutin and confusing, I hope not. My prayer is, if anything, that you have a bigger view of the truth that God has given you, and that actually is you can reveal that to people, and even if they aren't one step away from making a commitment to Jesus. That's what I want to encourage you on. I'd like to take a few minutes I'm going to do this. Yeah, let's play the song. Let's play the song. This is a song by a band called Switchfoot. And it's about shining light where people can only see shadows. And I want you guys to think about a situation, not in your life, but in the life of someone that you know and care for, where you know they need truth. They need a revelation of truth. They need to meet the truth. It may actually be that you know they need a revelation of truth in their finances or in their relationships. You know, they need a revelation of truth in the workplace. And I want you to pray for them, but also challenge yourself. How can I bring truth to that person in that situation? Because the bit I didn't get Alan to do, because I forgot, was the only problem with the picture that of shining the light here was that really we need to be shining the light there. We have the truth. Yeah, we may not fully grasp all of it all the time, but we've been given the truth. We've been given the light. We are the light of the world. We aren't the light of the church. Well, that's nice, and I'm obviously doing that now, lighting the church. But we are the light of the world, so our light needs to be facing outward. So I'd like to give you a few minutes to think about that while this song plays. Just ask God to put someone on your heart and show you, give you wisdom, how you can reveal his truth to them. Go for it. I hope that God spoke to you and put people and situations on your heart. And really, just in closing, my prayer is that you would join me in being torchbearers for truth in the places that you find yourself in. And yeah, maybe taking some of the things that Apollos did in his time, applying them to our time, and seeing God's truth shine into people's lives. I'd like to, on behalf of the prayer team, who don't know this, I'd like to offer any of you who want to pray for either the people that have been on your hearts, or pray to help you know how to reveal the truth to those people. I'd like to give you guys an opportunity to come and get that prayer from the prayer team as well. Thank you.